The Remodeling Expo Center Home Show with Shannon Burke continues on News Radio 106.7.
Welcome back to the Remodeling Expo Center Home Show. I'm Shannon Burke. In the studio is Chad Costello with Atlas Piers of Atlanta. Their website is atlaspiers.com. You can reach them by phone at 770-740-0400. All right. We talk a lot about slab foundations, mm-hmm. and that's just, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Sure.
I refer to it as pier and beam, and maybe that's a geographical thing because my dad was a contractor. That's what I...
Right.
But what I'm talking about is a wood, subfloor wood mm-hmm. beams that's lifted, elevated, sitting on piers.
Masonry columns, right.
Right.
Yeah, we call that a crawl space foundation.
Crawl space, okay.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And those fail the same way, I would imagine.
They do. There's always settlement. You know, no type of foundation system, again, is going to be immune to potential movement. The crawl space foundations are a little bit different in that when a crawl space settles or you have an interior wall settling on a home, it's typically going to be related to the framing itself is moving. Like you could have a beam that's twisting or bowing or sagging. You would have, it's not so much as a soil problem like we talked about before. This is going to be a more of a structural issue.
Really?
Yes. And the remedy for a crawl space foundation is not going to be the same as it would be for, say, a basement home or a slab home, in that you have the ability to get into a crawl space and do what we would consider a more remedial repair. For example, if a beam is sagged in a particular spot, we can go into the crawl space and we can identify where that low spot is, erect a new masonry column, mechanically lift that beam back into place and shim it back up. So you have the ability to get into the crawl space and do some kind of more creative things that, say, on a basement home, you would not be able to get into, you know, underneath the foundation.
Right, right. I would jack it up with a car jack and wedge some rocks under it. That'd
yeah.
be my fix.
And I've seen that. I have seen that, yes. Yeah. And sometimes that will work. But now we have seen on occasion where in a crawl space foundation.
I'm not certified in any way to do that type of stuff, by the way. Just yeah. let you know. I have no license whatsoever. I've just.
Well, that's a great idea. And you're not the only one to think of that because we do see where that occurs quite a bit. Oftentimes where we get involved or we can help out in a crawl space settlement issue is when the actual masonry columns themselves are sinking into the ground.
Right.
So we can come in at that point and we can attach one of our systems to the column and resupport that existing column. But I'd say 90% of the time, crawl space foundation is going to be more of a timber related issue than it
really?
Is a soil problem.
I did not know that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's hope that if you're buying a new home and you call for an inspection, that in your inspection report, if there is an issue with the foundation, I mean, inspectors are trained to find this stuff, right?
Yeah, they are, and they usually do a pretty good job. I have seen where some things will get overlooked because, again, this is a very specialty kind of thing, and you have to have a trained eye to recognize exactly what's going on in a lot of these situations. Home inspectors are great about, you know, picking up on that there's something going on, but they can't really put their thumb on exactly what it is.
Right.
So at that point, it would be in your best interest or in the homeowner's best interest to consult with someone who has the expertise and as a specialist or potentially hire a professional engineer.
I know a guy named Kenny. He's got a car jack and a pickup truck and a hammer. Why don't I call him?
This is going to fall back on the homeowner to do the due diligence and really research and find out which companies are respected, which ones have been around for a while and
what
really
do I
know
look
what they're
for?
Doing. In a company?
Yeah, and somebody, I know there's no, you don't have to, you're not a general contractor.
Sure.
You're very specific.
Yes.
You do one thing and one thing only. But how do I know that you are the right guy as opposed to Kenny with the car jack and the pickup truck?
Well, you'd have to do the research. You'd have to check, you know, see how long the company has been in business. And again, it is a specialty. So you would like to, we'd like to encourage you to try to find a contractor that exclusively deals with that particular situation.
Yeah.
For example, you wouldn't want to hire a waterproofer to come out and do a foundation repair. You wouldn't want to hire a masonry contractor to come out and do a foundation repair. You really need somebody that's...
Honestly, you don't want to hire Kenny either.
Yeah, Kenny's probably not the right guy.
At all.
But someone that has the experience to properly diagnose, and I can't hit on how important it is to have these situations properly diagnosed. We see it on a day-to-day basis where something will be not necessarily overlooked, but just something that is misdiagnosed. In that situation, you could be at a point where you're looking at a very expensive repair that you may not need. So, you know, getting a couple of opinions, if you have conflicting opinions, we would always encourage you to hire a professional engineer to come out and really assess the situation and provide you with a report, a stamp-sealed engineering report that tells you exactly what you need. The benefit of an engineer is multiple. One is that when, you know, of course, you're getting the right repair and you know that it's going to be done right. Secondly is that the engineer is looking out for your best interest. You're his client. The two of you have that relationship, and he has no vested interest in selling you anything that you don't need.
Not like Kenny. Kenny just wants to get paid.
Kenny wants to get paid, yeah. And he, and I would say on that note, it's also very important to if you're going to be looking for an engineer, to hire an independent engineer. Be very careful not to hire one who is affiliated with a foundation repair contractor. You can imagine at that point that his interest may lie elsewhere.
Right.
And so really finding an independent engineer that has your best interest in mind is going to go a long way and pay off huge dividends. And mainly my last point here is that when you go to sell your home, it goes a long way in setting a potential buyer's mind at ease that the repair was done properly.
So when I call Atlas Piers, do you have an engineer? You call an engineer? You give me a list of engineers that I can call?
We do. We have a list of engineers that are that are specialists in dealing with residential applications. We would send out one of our guys, and we do free estimates. We'll send out a guy, a non-commissioned guy that comes out and is looking out for to try to find out what's going on and coming up with the best, most cost-effective solution. Right off the bat, if it's something that is above us or something that's more complicated than we feel like that we can handle, and that does happen on occasion, we will refer you to an engineer that can come out with the correct tools, monitoring tools or soil testing equipment, and really go through the thing properly.
You guys have to have some soil knowledge. I mean, obviously clay versus this versus that, right? Mm-hmm.
And there's a wide variety of soil conditions here in the Piedmont region. So understanding the soil profile at that particular site is very key in coming up with the correct remedy.
I imagine that that crack, either the step crack on your bricks outside through the mortar, or the crack above the threshold or the window, I would imagine that you don't wake up one morning and go, hey, this was not like that yesterday. Sometime last night while we were asleep, the foundation sank.
Sure. No, it's always a very, very slow thing that occurs, and people will let it go to a point where they think that that's the first time they've seen it, or maybe it is the first time they've seen it, but usually it's something that occurs. It starts off as a very small hairline crack and just slowly grows over a period of years. It's nothing that's going to, you'll see a dramatic change usually from month to month or even, you know, several months, but over a period of years, that's when you notice the change.
So it's kind of like you could mark it, maybe like you mark your kid's height on on the door frame. You just make a little pen mark and see how big your crack is growing every...
That's it. But we have a little bit more sophisticated ways of monitoring cracks. We have crack monitors that can be installed by a PE. Kenny puts the mark on the wall. There's some ways that can be, you know, you can take a digital photo these days and just post it right there close by and just compare it, you know, every year, just come out and look at it and see if it's changed.
Okay, when is the danger point, or if I just notice a small crack? What I'm getting, if the foundation is settled just a little bit, which I don't know if that's expected or not, but enough to give me some visual cues.
Right.
And I go, I have to take care of this right away. Sure. Or does it reach a point where it stops? Or, you know, like a lot of people think, well, this will fix itself. It's not going to fix itself, but will it?
It very well may stop. Yes, sir. You're right.
But so, you don't know.
You don't know when, and so that's when monitoring becomes key. So the first time you notice it, you want to take note of it. You want to take a good shot of it so that you can have something to compare to in the future. Oftentimes, we'll recommend that people patch a small area of that crack so that if it continues to move, they can go back and compare. Hey, we patched this, in April of 2017, and here we are 2 years later, and it hasn't moved. Great, you don't have a problem. If it turns out that crack has moved and it's active, then you can have a good idea of how much it's moving, how fast, and you have a timeline on kind of what to expect.
I'm trying to get to a point about
your last point, I'd say at least half of the jobs we look at where we see cracks, people call, they've noticed a small crack. We will end up asking them to, hey, you should, guys, as long as it's not a situation where they're going to sell, they have the ability to monitor it over a period of months or years. And we oftentimes will just say, hey, give them a crack monitor. Sometimes we'll install it for them.
You have a crack monitor?
We do. Yes, we keep those with us, and we will give them to the homeowners to install so that they can keep track of the crack themselves.
Really? What is a crack monitor?
Well, it's a piece of plastic with a graph on the front.
Oh, so you'll be able to actually, you stick it in place, you'll be able to actually measure the...
You got it. You epoxy it directly over the crack, and if it continues to move, it'll show up on that transparent piece and tell you exactly how much.
You can't predict. Like, if you come in, you go to a house and you see a crack, you can't go, you've got a month to live here.
Yeah, no,
the whole place is
going
to sink into the ground.
Yeah, and I get that a lot. And you know, people try to push us for, you know, hey, well, how long is this going to go before it's a problem? And it's just so difficult to determine a timeline.
People do crazy stuff like, let's move the furniture out of that room. We'll take the weight off that side. It won't sink down anymore.
Yeah, sure. You see all kinds of that kind of stuff going on.
I want to know, if I call you, I've got an issue, Is that a problem? Do I have to move? Do I have to clear the house? Can I be in the home while you're doing your thing?
Yes, most of the time we do everything from the perimeter, the outside of the home. Most always the load-bearing walls. Sometimes we'll have to be addressed and we'll have to come inside, but we're very, conscientious about the fact that that's somebody's home and we need to take care of it and be very clean and orderly and you know, get in and out as quick as we possibly can without causing too much discomfort. But most of the jobs, 90% of the jobs we do, we don't even have to disturb the homeowner. They won't even notice when we go to lift the home. It's such a slow and controlled process that you don't even see the crack moving until you realize that it's closed. So it's very, you know, it's not too terribly disturbing to a homeowner to have
any foundation you've run across beyond repair. Like you go, oh, we can't help you, lady.
Yes,
sorry.
Sir. I've seen
really?
That. Yeah. You know, people let it go. They say, oh, I'll deal with it later or I'll just, you know.
So there is a deadline.
Well, it's to the point where, you know, you start stressing these other components of the home and then it becomes dangerous. So, but that's usually a pretty significant amount of movement. It's very rare that something gets to that point, but I have on occasion seen a project where it's just beyond something we can help with.
Wow. That's right. Well, then you should call them right away and make sure it's not to that point.
Yes, sir.
Atlas Piers, 770-740-0400. 770-740-0400. Chad Costello, I appreciate your time. Also, atlaspiers.com. You've explained quite a bit to me. Now I understand.
Yeah. Well, thank you very
much.
Don't
call a guy with a hammer and a pickup truck and a car jack.
Yep.
He does not give you a 50-year guarantee.
No. Just getting it diagnosed properly from the beginning is the main thing.
Excellent. I appreciate your time.
Thank you
very much. Stick around. There's more coming up on the Remodeling Expo Center Home Show. I'm Shannon Burke. We'll be right back.
The Home Show with Shannon Burke will continue on News Radio 106.7.